Today we were given a bunch of teachings from Jesus Christ in our gospel, and some of them are quite difficult. Two of them kind of jumped off the page at me, one in particular because it's made its way into just common language, and a lot of times it gets distorted. So the two I'd like to look at today are offer the cheek to those who hit you and bless those who curse you. Now, these sayings happened 2,000 years ago in a context and a culture that we might not be familiar with. So what is Jesus really trying to tell us here? And to unpack them, I'd like to use King David, who appears in our first reading, because in the scriptures, he gives wonderful examples of living out these two teachings. So let's start with, to the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other as well. More popularly known today as turn the other cheek. Now, according to Jewish rabbinic law at the time, to hit somebody with the back of your hand was to insult them. It was a grave insult to backhand somebody. If you want to hurt somebody, we all know, you make a fist and you pop them right in the nose. Because if you get popped right in the nose, you usually go right down to the ground. So to turn the other cheek is not necessary to say, I want to be your punching bag. Turning the other cheek is saying, I'm not going to allow you to insult me. You want to insult me by backhanding me, well, do it again, right? You're not hurting me, but more importantly, you're not insulting me. I won't allow your actions to dictate my world. So turning the other cheek is saying, you don't have any power over me. I don't care what you do, because I'm always going to choose to do the right thing. Let's see how this is lived out in today's first reading. So King Saul is trying to kill David because he's looking at the trajectory of David and realizes that David is on the way of taking over his kingdom. So Saul is very jealous of David. But this isn't David's idea. David was a young shepherd boy out in the fields, and next thing he knows, he gets pulled in, a prophet anoints him, and off he's on becoming king. So David's like, look, I'm just trying to do what God is asking me to do here. So David is following God's will, Saul is following his own. So today's first reading says that Abishai whispered into David, God has delivered your enemy into your grasp today. Let me nail him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. So Abishai is playing the God card. Look, God himself has put your enemy right here. Let me take care of him. We could also argue, well, David would be justified. Saul is actively trying to kill him. So you would say, sure, his self-defense, God put him right here, why not? One spear in the head and this thing is over. But David will not allow King Saul to dictate his actions. We're told that David said to Abishai, do not harm him. For who can lay hands on the Lord's anointed and remain unpunished? You want to talk about turning the other cheek? David is saying, I know that this man is trying to kill me, and that's wrong. It's wrong of him to do that, but I will not allow his sinful actions to lead me into sin. Now notice that David doesn't say, hey Saul, get up, look, I've turned the cheek, slap this one. He doesn't wake him up and say, here I am, kill him. So turning the other cheek is not this radical pacifism. If you want to be a pacifist, go for it. But this scripture should not back up your command. What David is saying is, I must do the right thing no matter what the circumstances are. I remember my parents saying, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? No, Mom and Dad, I wouldn't do that. Right? So no matter what the rest of the world is doing, we have to do the right thing. Now let's look at bless those who curse you. Now we go to 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 6. And it states that now David's the king. King David was approaching Bethlehem, and there was a man coming out. He was of the same clan of the house of Saul. His name was Shimei, son of Gera. Shimei kept cursing as he came out and throwing stones at David and all of David's officers. Okay, so Shimei resents King David because he replaced King Saul. Saul and Shimei are both of the tribe of Benjamin. Now at this point, King David is on the run because his own son Absalom is staging a coup and is trying to kill his own father. Who needs Hollywood when you have the wonderful scriptures to keep us entertained, right? So Shammai is thinking, okay, King David's reign is coming to an end. So I'm going to vent my anger. I'm going to vent my rage at him. I'm going to curse him and throw stones at him. Now, what happens? Verse 9. Abishai, the guy who said, let me put a spear into the head of Saul, says to David, why should this dead dog curse my lord king? Let me go over there and take his head off. So here you have a king who's being insulted, who's having stones thrown at him by this nobody, this loser. All he had to do was snap his fingers, and Shammai was going to have a neckectomy, right? But he doesn't. What does King David do? We go to verse 10 and 11. David says, what business is of mine or of yours that he curses? Suppose the Lord has told him to curse me. Then they will dare to say, why are you doing this? David said to Abishai and all of his servants, if my own son who came forth from my loins is seeking my life, how much more might this Benjaminite do so? Let him alone, let him curse me, for the Lord has told him to do so. King David is showing great humility in the face of humiliation. He's showing great restraint in the face of peer pressure. He's the king. All of his soldiers, all of his generals are right next to him. And here he is being mocked and having stones thrown at him. You'd think he might want to save face a little bit, but he says no. King David is trying to understand, what is God trying to tell me in this instance? So that's, I don't know, 3,000 years ago. How about today? How are we at living out these commandments? How are we at offering the other cheek? People are going to hurt us in our lives. We know that. But when we are mistreated, do we go eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? Do we allow somebody's sinful actions to give us a license to sin ourselves? We're taught at a very young age, two wrongs don't make a right. We must always do the godly thing, no matter what the circumstances are. How are we at blessing those who curse us? We all have family members, coworkers, neighbors who just talk trash about everyone all the time. I'm not talking about them. They'll burn. Don't worry about it. Just kidding, okay? So, but I'm talking about the people like Shammai, the person that God puts into our life that challenges us, that says, you know what? What you're doing is wrong. You know what? The position you're holding is wrong. How are we at saying, could this be God? Could this be God speaking to me through this person who I might not like, who might be a total stranger, who might be a real sinner themselves, but yet they're speaking the truth? What is it saying? A stop clock is right twice a day, right? So even a grave sinner God can use to speak to us. So when God allows that person to come to us, do we say, oh, it kills me to say it, but you're right. Right? You know what I'm saying? So being a Christian is not easy. Being a follower of Christ is going to be very demanding. It means having to have the fortitude to do the right thing no matter what the rest of the world is doing. And it also means having the humility to say, God, when you answer my prayers, it might not be in the way that I thought you were going to do it.